Today is a double celebration because we are also celebrating Pentecost. The church celebrates Pentecost when we remember the gift of the Holy Spirit of God to those first disciples, those first followers of Jesus. Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth." And then on that day of Pentecost, which was a Jewish festival celebrating harvest and the gift of the Holy Scriptures, the Torah, when they were gathered together, when the disciples were gathered together, the Holy Spirit of God descended on them like tongues of fire, filling them and empowering them with the strength and the grace of God and the presence with them always of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. That was the powerful, wonderful gift of God to those first disciples, to his church. And that is the powerful, wonderful gift of God to all of us when we come to know Jesus Christ as Lord of our lives, to receive the gift, the power, the encouragement, the upholding, the nurturing, the guiding, the teaching, the restoration, the redemption, the glory of the Holy Spirit of God. All who place their trust in Jesus receive this gift. And it is indeed an amazing reminder of the complete love that God has for you. That he gifts us his Holy Spirit. That intimate relationship and empowering from God himself. Those of you who were here last week will have been reminded very clearly that God loves you. Wherever you are, whatever you carry in your life, God loves you. God loves you with a love that is achingly more than we can ever imagine or understand. So that is the celebration of the church. And of course, how lovely and appropriate that we all share today in the baptism of baby Jessica. When we are reminded so clearly that we are all reborn of the Holy Spirit. When we are baptized, we go down into those waters, the old self, full of our own desires and our own purposes. And we come back out of the water, the waters of baptism, washed clean by the Holy Spirit, starting a new life, a new birth. As children of God, born into a new family, and Jessica has been welcomed into that worldwide family of God. God loves Jessica, God loves you, God loves me. It is this divine love present in us by the Spirit of God which helps and enables us to become and be so much more with the love of God than we could ever, ever imagine or be without the love of God. This morning's reflection on Scripture is building on Helen Aberdeen's introduction last week. We are just beginning a short series on Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, Philippians. Last week, we were affirmed at the beginning of this series of Paul's letter to the Philippians in the fact that we can always know joy, whatever our circumstances. Do you know, that seems easy to say, but much harder to experience. I don't know about you, but if I think of the worst time of my life, joy? Humanly, it feels hard. But actually, joy, as we've talked about before, isn't necessarily happiness and dancing and singing in the aisles because we are full of that sort of happiness. It goes far, far deeper. And these verses that we have today, which continue chapter 1, verses 12 to 19 and onwards of Philippians, give us more details of Paul's circumstances, building on this amazing reality that we can know joy even in spite of the apparent hopelessness of his situation here. He still joyfully proclaims the good news of Christ. He is also affirmed, even in these circumstances, that his life has purpose and meaning. And even in these circumstances, Paul continues to live with hope. This is truly extraordinary. And it's the sort of thing that can only happen with and through the power and love of God, the power and presence of God's Holy Spirit. Paul is in chains because of his preaching and his speaking about Jesus Christ. You see that referred to in verse 13. Something we might think would put most of us off for fear of aggravating more our captors. If you're in chains, you think, maybe I should keep stum. Not so with Paul and his friends. He and they have, in fact, only been encouraged, it says here in this passage, remarkably, to speak out more and more, verse 14. Even at a time like this, Paul's concern is not inwardly looking towards his own self and his own needs, even in that extraordinary circumstance of imprisonment and being in chains. His first concern is that Christ is praised, that Christ is given the honour and the glory. And if this is for Christ, says Paul, then it's worth everything. Because everything is about Jesus. You and I find our purpose and our meaning, both now in this earthly life and for all eternity, in and through Jesus Christ, when we come to know Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, what is all about? I'm deeply moved and challenged by this passage. I'm deeply moved and challenged by it because I reflect on how I handle adversity sometimes. Sometimes not very well. All the human poor me comes out. All the other things that I see get in the way of realizing that I am held in the loving hands of God always, whatever is happening. And I've been through some tough times in my life, but none of them have come close to the circumstances that Paul was in. How do you respond to difficulty? With Jesus or without him? It's not that we don't sometimes have to make very difficult decisions in life or do and say difficult things. Paul, my goodness me, doesn't Paul speak out? If you read all the letters of Paul, what he says to some of his friends and brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not that we don't sometimes have to do things, but it's the way that we do things that matter, a way that reflects and honours Jesus Christ with deep joy in our hearts because Jesus is Lord. And that joy is not, as I said earlier, just happiness, but the assurance, always, whatever difficulty we are in, that God has got us. Paul even says that as long as Christ is preached truly and rightly, he doesn't even mind if the hearts of those doing the preaching are not completely true themselves. That's a little section in verse 15 to 17. I don't have time to go into that all, but we might wonder what that might mean. He said he doesn't even mind as long as Christ is crucified. And actually, thank you, Lord, for that. Because even vicars standing up here preaching have their moments of imperfection, I can vouch for, and I'm sure many of you can vouch for as well, for which we need the grace and forgiveness of God. But the important thing is that Christ is truly preached, that Jesus is proclaimed. What mattered to Paul in every moment of life, the good and the bad? What mattered was that Christ and the love of God for me and for you and the whole world is preached and proclaimed in whatever and however we do things. That everyone should know that God loves them and that Jesus died for them. And that everyone can know forgiveness and healing and wholeness and joy, because when you know and trust in Jesus, he is with you always, and you too can be with Jesus forever. Being unjustly imprisoned, as Paul was here, would cause most of us to become bitter or to give up. Paul was wrongly accused. He was nearly lynched. He only escaped a flogging because he was a Roman citizen, and he was in prison in chains, as he said at the beginning of this reading. Yet he is full of that deep joy. He sees even this as another opportunity to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he realized that his current circumstances, however difficult they are or were not as important as what he did with them. And as Helen reminded us last week, happiness doesn't depend on happenings. If it did, what happens when circumstances change, which they do all the time? If something breaks, or when a loved one dies, or health deteriorates, or money becomes scarce, or something else really difficult to us happens to us. When happiness disappears, often despair can then come. In contrast, joy is found by depending utterly on Jesus Christ. The strong foundation that gives us to be able to cope with whatever life throws at us. Joy runs deeper and stronger. Someone wrote, "Joy is the quiet assurance of God's love and work in our lives." As I've said earlier on, and that he will be with us no matter what. And the verses following on from our reading today, and I encourage you to go back and read these. Go on from verse 19 to the end of that section to verse 30. The verses following us show Paul's motivation when he says in verse 21, For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. In other words, he proclaims so clearly for us in these hugely difficult circumstances that everything in life is about knowing Jesus, building a relationship with Jesus, being sustained and loved by Jesus, and finding an eternal purpose in Jesus. And everything in death, which Paul was facing, is about looking forward to seeing Christ face to face in the completeness and perfection and holiness and beauty of God's love. That is why Paul could do what he did. Filled with the Holy Spirit of God, his outward-facing selflessness, following the example of the outward-facing selfless love of God, enabled him to be the man he was. And as a result, he knew joy, more wonderful than anything else the world has to offer. You and I can bring honour to Jesus Christ in the ways that we deal with adversity, even in the most challenging and difficult moments of our lives. We can also, in those moments, and I'm not dismissing the toughness, the grim, worldly toughness of those situations sometimes. I'm not dismissing that at all. Life can be very, very, very painful and confusing and hard. But even in those moments, we can know, by God's grace through his Holy Spirit, the joy of the assurance of God with us, whether it's in times of tears or times of laughter. Because amazingly, wonderfully, miraculously, that assurance will be there. Joy is what we find when we totally trust in and surrender our lives to Jesus Christ, who loves you now, today, this moment, and always will be. Amen.